Oh, yes. We are back on another edition of Overreaction Monday, the podcast version, along with Chris Brockman. I am Rich Eisen. It is week 7 on Overreaction Monday, and today's episode, like all the others, is brought to you by our friends at Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Last-minute killer deals. Check it all out. And you can download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code of Overreaction for $20 off your first purchase. You download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. More information on that promo code later on in this show. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Rich,
how are you?
Great. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. I am great.
Jets won the week.
Jets didn't had a bye. Michigan's brand is banged up a little bit right now.
But on the field looks good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
As Michigan State was running in the plays, not signaling them in, and Michigan still won 49-0.
Flashbacks to my high school days.
I feel really good about everything going on.
Great.
So, shall we?
Let's do it.
Hit it.
Woo!
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Rich, let's just get started right away. You saw it last night on Sunday Night Football. The Eagles are the best team in the NFL right now.
I would say that's an overreaction. The Eagles being the best team in the NFL right now is a complete overreaction. Are they one of the best teams in the NFL right now? I can say, yes, that is the case. They may be the best team in the NFL in the trenches. You can say that. They're the best team in the trenches right now with their brotherly shove on offense and then what they're doing defensively. I mean, that was a very unbrotherly-like shove that Jalen Carter delivered to Isaiah Wynn on Sunday night to essentially knock him out of the game.
Big man on big man crime.
And cause the Dolphins to have some protection problems maybe up front right off the bat.
Yeah.
But best team in the NFL right now, top to bottom, 100% after what we saw. This is an overreaction for the Philadelphia.
Really?
Eagles
you
right
didn't
now.
Love? I mean, you didn't I love did the love. Way they ran the football?
I did.
They have, could you say, other than Tyreek Hill, the best deep threat in the NFL and A.J. Brown?
You even said in the overreaction
Dallas
Monday
Goddard
segment
is back.
Version, you even said that, you know, that A.J. Brown is the best wide receiver in the NFL. And I said, you can't, that's not an
He's
overreaction.
Playing like it.
I said, it's an argument, not an overreaction.
Yeah.
So it's an argument. This is an overreaction, though, that the Eagles are the best team in the NFL right now.
Who do you think is the best team in the NFL
right
now?
If I had to choose one right now, I'd take the Chiefs.
Chiefs, Eagles, Super Bowl rematch. Who wins?
Chiefs.
Really?
Right now.
I don't think they have enough on offense to keep up with the Eagles.
I think they have enough on defense to make sure. I don't think the Eagles have enough on offense right now. So it's a totally different set of dynamics if they face one another. And then there's the 49ers out there too. So, and the Ravens are raising their hands and saying, what's up? So for the moment, I'll say this is an overreaction to kick things off on this week 7 pod.
All right, great. Maybe you'll agree with me here then. By starting Brian Hoyer and then getting blown out at Chicago, embarrassing, Josh McDaniels, boom, hot seat. You're on it.
Oh, I think he is officially on the hot seat. I would agree with that assessment. Certainly, if at this point in time the Raiders are hearing more from Davante Adams behind the scenes, and
he got his 11 targets. But
he did, but it's just he's got to be out there saying, I came here to play with Derek Carr, and right now I've caught passes from 3 quarterbacks through 6 games. Like, that's not what he signed up for.
Absolutely
he
not.
He didn't sign up for having all these targets and them being basically empty calories. He didn't sign up for that. Max Crosby, we had Chris Long on Monday's show in his usual spot from the Green Light Pod. And he's like, you know, I've been there before with Max Crosby, where you're looking around saying, what more can I do? And there's not much more that I can do being a primary pass rusher on a team that's struggling to win. And then they got the Lions coming up next. The Lions got blown out. I'm sure you got something special for me on that front in this podcast. They've got the Lions coming up next, and they would love to bury the tape and turn the page and make a mincemeat out of the Raiders here. So, yeah, man.
What do you make of this Raiders season? It's kind of been all over the place.
It's not lost yet. That's for sure.
Not lost.
No. I mean, they're 3-4, and then, you know, that's on the periphery. They're still in the hunt for a 7. They're in the, they're sniffing it.
Yeah,
as we're going to start to call the in the hunt category on our standings pages on the Rich Eisen Show, as we call it that. So, yeah, I don't know why they started Hoyer. That I don't understand. Like, all those snaps that Hoyer took
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Like, this is the game that you put Aiden O'Connell out there, and if you come up with a loss, at least he gets the reps. He gets the, you know, he gets the juices flowing. He gets the sweat equity.
I mean, he's proved he can play. Aiden O'Connell, great preseason, did get a start early in the year. Kind of struggled, but it was his first career start. What do you expect?
I mean, for Hoyer to basically throw a pick six and lose to Tyson Bagent, the Bears use their Division II rookie and get the win, and he uses his longtime veteran by sitting his rookie and getting the loss. That is definitely a button push that everyone then turns up the heat on the hot seat. I honestly, to me, this feels like it's an overreact. It's not an overreaction to Mark Davis. He's the only, opinion that counts.
Right.
Perhaps he's just like, no, I signed McDaniels to do all this Patriot stuff, West. And I'll trust the process. Right now, it's not working out.
Man, hasn't worked out last year or the start of this year. Okay. The four 1-5 teams all won yesterday. One of these teams being the New York Giants. They probably should have beat Buffalo, too. They should just start Tyrod Taylor the rest of the year.
No, that's not happening. That's not happening.
Gives them a better chance to win games.
Okay.
Tyrod Taylor. He's out there slinging it around, veteran leadership.
Yeah.
Not afraid. Doesn't look scared in the big moment.
I cannot, if you were say the Giants look better with Tyrod Taylor as the starting quarterback, I would say that's not an overreaction.
I combined them.
I know, but the Giants should start Tyrod Taylor for the rest of the season over the guy they're paying $40 million to play football. Nuh-uh. Daniel Jones played a half of football in Arizona that stands out from amongst the rest
and
of the draft.
And that's worth $40 million?
I'm not saying it's worth $40 million. I'm saying he played a half of football this year in Arizona that stands out from the rest of the draft. Okay? For those who don't know Yiddish, go and look that up.
A lot of track.
Yeah, man. So they're paying him $40 million. You're going to play him. And he does have a skill set that has a higher ceiling than what Tyrod Taylor is showing.
Potentially.
Overreaction. What else you got?
I mean, come on.
What else you got?
I think they should. I mean, trade Saquon.
Sometimes you try to Aaron Rodgers manifest your opinions into being reality.
Do you think they should trade Saquon?
No, I don't.
Why?
I don't think so. Because they need him. He's their best player on offense.
This season is going nowhere.
So what? You still need him for down the road. He's still a guy that you can start winning games with over the next 2-3 years. If you do get it right at the quarterback spot, let's just say he's banged up, he's hurt, and he doesn't play as much this year, and you wind up with 3 or 4 wins, and you go and you get the 3rd, 4th, 5th overall pick in this draft, right? And then you bring in Drake May. You bring in somebody at the top of the draft at the quarterback spot who sits behind Danny Dimes, right? So then, yeah, having Saquon there would be quite helpful, don't you think?
I tripped over
Danny Dimes' name.
Those are great Giants uniforms.
Thank you. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick 2 or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
when my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows. You know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
What else you got?
We talked about this on the big show. TJ said MVP. I was like, whoa, slow down. But the Defensive Player of the Year award is Myles Garrett's to lose.
Let me see what else I can think of right here.
I mean, what he did yesterday.
To lose, meaning he's in the pole position right now over TJ Watt, over Nick Bosa.
Yep.
Over Miles, Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah. Getting it done.
I'll buy it.
Two sacks. He blocked a field goal yesterday.
By leaping over the long snapper, which normally people don't. Can you cue up this soundbite, please? It's my favorite soundbite of the weekend. We played it on the regular show. So that play where he leapt over the long snapper.
Dude, that was crazy.
Now, it does appear that those are the hops that follow the crossover dribble that he's been practicing. Yes. On defense, standing over the opposing regular center.
Clips have gone viral of him playing basketball. He is a really good basketball. He's like 6'6", like 280.
I know.
He shouldn't have hops like that.
He might play for the Cavs, right?
They need him.
So this is Myles Garrett. He was asked why he did it and was able to do it without the 15-yard penalty of leverage. Basically, if you're jumping over the long snapper and any part of your body just touches his, it's a 15-yard penalty. Oh, that's why people don't attempt
do
it. Or when they do it, they get a leverage penalty. He was asked why he was able to do it without getting a leverage penalty when most everybody else gets flagged for it.
It depends if you're me or not.
So if I'm you, it's not that hard.
If you're me, it's another day at the office.
And now somebody nobody says that and can get away with it, except he can. It's just like, yeah, you're right.
Like, oh, yeah, okay.
So I'll agree with you. This is not an overreaction. It's his to lose.
His to lose.
Okay. The only reason why I don't think people would buy it is because a defensive player of the year has to come from a playoff contending and team with a winning record.
Okay.
And their quarterback spot right now is too iffy for you to buy into the fact that he's in the pole position. It's got nothing to do with his play.
I see.
It's got to do with normally what a defensive player of the year winner has surrounding him in terms of a winning team, in terms of a winning record. And I know they're 4-2. I understand. Rich, what can they do other than win 4 of their first 6? So that's the only reason why I think people aren't buying in, but I'll buy into that as not an overreaction.
Okay, last one before halftime.
Yes, sir.
You're going to love it. The Bills are missing the playoffs.
Why would I love that? Why would I love that?
Because it's hot. It's spicy. You're going to say it's an overreaction, but watch the tape, people. What is going on with the Bills?
I'm going to say it's an overreaction.
What is going on with the Bills?
I don't know. That's the problem. No one can pinpoint it. You can't sit here and say Josh Allen's turning the ball over too much. You can't say Josh Allen is doing too much in the red zone. Thus, they're settling for 3. You can't sit here and say the defense has lost too many players because they are giving up too many points. They have lost too many players, but they're not giving up too many points. You know, you can't sit here and say it's because their special teams are terrible. They do, you know, they're not perfect. It just happens they get a missed kick when everything else is working right. When everything else isn't working right, they have to settle for the good kick. And then sometimes the kick isn't there when they have to settle. Honestly, I don't know. I saw them in person in London, and I thought their first half troubles were because Matt Milano goes out, Daquan Jones goes out.
Right.
They're also jet-lagged, and so the energy goes and dips down. And suddenly, you know, they played well towards the end to try and maybe win that thing. And that loss to the Jaguars may come home to roost if they do win this division eventually, because don't forget, they have beaten Miami. So they have an opportunity to still make a run and not have Jacksonville put that tiebreak on the table to say, you've got to come to us in a divisional round or even a wild card round if it is something where they don't win the division. So, I have to sit here and say, that the Bills are in trouble, but missing the playoffs entirely, you can't say that.
I don't know. Throw out their schedule because it's really hard.
Buffalo's next game is their home for Tampa on a Thursday night. So that's coming up in just a few short days. And Tampa's offense, after winning three of their first four, has fallen off a cliff.
Yep.
All right. So, and they're the ones who are at home on a short week. They're at Cincinnati on a Sunday night. Now, that's a big one. But Cincinnati, as you know, hasn't been lighting any fires either.
Yeah, the last couple games, though.
I get it.
They seem like they're getting their groove back.
Home for Denver on a Monday night. Then they're home for the Jets at Philadelphia, bye at Kansas City, home for Dallas.
That is a four-game stretch.
That's a brutal stretch. But missing the playoffs entirely? Because what? Another team, multiple teams from the AFC North are going to make it? And the Jets leapfrogs them? Because that's the way that they don't make it. They don't win the division. And then a host of teams from the AFC North make it.
Looks likely. Well, looks like they're going to get maybe three.
And then maybe the Jets start winning some games to put their tie break on the table against the Bills.
I wanted to bring this up on the big show. We didn't have time. I didn't want to ruin your flow. But it's definitely an overreaction. However, Josh Allen, a little overrated?
No, I think right now, again, I love Gabe Davis, right? But who else outside of Diggs is scaring you?
Nobody.
Dalton Kincaid
finally had kind of a big game.
But who else out of those guys scaring you? James
Nobody.
Cook scaring you?
Nobody.
You know, Latavius Murray,
not
Damian
really.
Harris is hurt.
Nope.
You know,
maybe they're a team that needs to make a big trade.
That's what I was talking about on the show.
Yeah.
So we have reached halftime, and you can get tickets for Overreaction Monday, halftime through game time. Do you like that one?
I love it.
Game time. You do not have to worry about buying tickets to your next big event, and the frustrating ticket buying experience, poof, it's gone, because game time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. I love this app. Everyone on the Rich Eisen Show uses this app. Del Tufo's gotten tickets to an event in Vegas through this app. You got recent hockey game tickets, correct?
I did.
Here in Los
recent
Angeles?
Recent hockey tickets,
you
baby.
Sure did, with a house full of kids that have different tastes and allegiances to different music events and teams. I'll tell you what, for us in our household, Game Time is a perfect solution to find tickets to satisfy everyone in our house. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now, because you can find tickets everywhere you want, see the view from your from your seats, and also with all-in pricing, you can make sure you get to your full cost before you buy your ticket, so there's no hidden fees. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code OVERREACTION for $20 off your first purchase. Again, restrictions do apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code OVERREACTION, 2 hours in overreaction for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Game Time also brings you What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Their next show is on Tuesday, every single day. On Tuesday, you can get that. Warren Sapp is the guest there.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
It's now time for the second half of this edition of Overreaction Monday. What do you have over there, Christopher?
Second half, Rich. The other marquee game on Sunday, Lions, Ravens, beatdown. The Lions showed us who they really are Sunday in Baltimore.
No, they didn't.
Who the Lions are right there.
That is 38-6. Come on, man. They have been dynamic since the middle of last season. Dynamic. And had they won on Sunday against Baltimore, it would have given them 11 wins since week 12 last year, matching the Jacksonville Jaguars, by the way. But they lost in Baltimore in absolute embarrassing fashion, if you want to use that word. Disgrace is a favorite sports word.
28-0 before they got a first down.
Sports shows, its Come favorite on. Lexicon. No, it was, they were down 28-0. They gave up four touchdowns before they got their first down. They got totally blown out.
With that coach and the way they had been playing, don't you think they would have been a little more amped up and ready to go?
I would think that they would have given Baltimore a better game, of course. But these things, as we know, happen. You know, the Jets once lost 45-3 to New England. They buried the tape. They came back and beat them in the playoffs. Just a for example from our team's histories.
Good one.
So, you know, I will just chalk this up to it happens. you know, ish happens. And this team, I think, missed David Montgomery. And for me, I would sit here, if I was Brad Holmes and the rest of the staff there shopping for the groceries, I would look around for another, you know, running back who's got, as they say, sand in his pants like Montgomery. Because if Montgomery goes down and you got to face a team with as stout a front seven as they just wilted against in Baltimore, say, in the playoffs, you got Dallas, you got San Francisco, you got Philadelphia. You need to make sure it's not just Montgomery, it's someone else too. I don't know who that person is. I would start scouring around. That's who I would look to see if I was the Lions, if I were the Lions right now. But I think they get back on their winning ways Monday night against the Las Vegas Raiders. That is a nice one for them as a get-right opportunity. They're here against the Chargers. Let's see how that happens. You know, because I know the interesting thing about the Chargers is you can look at them as highly disappointing, but they're always used when you look at everybody else's schedule. That's a tough game because it's Justin Herbert, and it's Keenan Allen, and it's Joey Bosa, and it's Khalil Mack, and it's Derwin James, except they keep losing those guys.
Yep.
4 out of 6. So they should win that one. They're home for Chicago. There's Thanksgiving against Green Bay. They're at New Orleans. They're at Chicago again. Home for Denver. 2 games against Minnesota sandwiched around a trip to Dallas. The one thing about the Lions is, as you saw, you know, they might not be as good on the road outdoors, although they just won in Tampa and it wasn't that cold of a day.
But they're kind of built for indoors.
And every game I just said, with the exception of out Chicago, is indoors. Yeah. So I'm not concerned about them. They didn't really show us who they really are in Baltimore. Personally, I think they showed them who they really are in Tampa. And these things happen like they did to them in Baltimore. That's my 2 cents. Overreaction. What else you got?
Other side of that game.
Yes, sir.
Ravens.
Yeah.
Look great. It's time to start taking them seriously as legit Super Bowl contenders.
Yes, sir. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. This is exactly right. We said in the regular show, in our 3-hour show on Monday, Rick Dalton GIF. That's that you point at the screen. Like, that's it. That Ravens offensive output where they ran it, not as well as they threw it. And they threw it to a whole bunch of running backs and other receivers.
Got everyone involved.
Correct. And Lamar extended plays and threw for touchdowns. And then extended some plays with his legs just to take your will every now and then. That's the Lamar Jackson they want to have out there, and also staying healthy and let the defense do the rest. They can keep Mahomes off the field. They can chase Mahomes around. They can bracket Kelsey and say, who else is going to beat us? They can do that, and their special teams, as we all know, is very special. That's for sure. That's not an overreaction.
Saw a lot of Lamar MVP talk today on the drive.
Well, I mean, I think it's legit. It's legit. It's just he's not doing things like he did in his MVP season, which is running for 75 yards and then throwing bombs for 60. Like, he's not doing that. He's doing everything else in a much more controlled, if you will, schemed up manner. And I saw that in London, too. And I saw the way he is. He's still himself. You know, we had fun chatting with him when he said that he bought his mom in London a Chanel bag, but he was going to return it because it was really expensive. And we kind of basically said, Lamar,
right?
You know, look at your bottom line.
It's funny.
You know, you can throw the receipt out. Just give it to your mom. I mean, we didn't say, plus if she was your agent, she's kind of crushed it. She's kind of done the job, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, take him seriously. I agree. What else?
Here's who we're not taking seriously.
Uh-oh.
The Chargers. Week 8, Sunday Night Football. How did this game not get flexed? Bears, Chargers, Brandon Staley coaching for his job on Sunday Night Football.
I don't know if he's coaching for his job. I don't know.
You just mentioned previously all the great players they have, all the talented players. We see it with our own eyes. They got tons of players in fantasy, defensive player of the year candidates. How do they lose these games?
I don't know.
Is Tyson Badgett going to come in to SoFi and give Brandon Staley the pink slip?
I'll tell you what, man. The first game in SoFi, remember, is Bears-Rams? And you remember how loud the Bears fans were?
So loud.
I think it's going to be another silent snap count night for Justin Herbert.
I agree with you.
And if you're I just don't know if the Spanoses look around and say we're 2-5. And then what? It's interim head coach Kellen Moore?
Look, Kellen Moore. Give Kellen Moore the rest of the season audition for the job.
I can't imagine they do that. I just can't.
This guy's supposed to be a defensive coach. Dude, why is Kelce so wide open? Why are you playing zone against the Chiefs?
If they didn't can him after that playoff game last year, then how do they turn around in the middle of this season through seven games with 10 more to go, axe him for Kellen Moore or whoever
2-5,
else?
Losing at home on national television to the Bears, who's playing a backup.
I don't think he's coaching for his job. I think he's coaching maybe for the locker room. I don't know. But again, I shouldn't say that. I don't have any, you know, firsthand knowledge inside of what's going on in that locker room or if he's got people sort of looking aside at him. This one game against the Chiefs, the only thing was that you know, kind of made you furrow your brow and go, what the hell's going on there, is the fact how wide open Kelce was.
Just wide open.
There wasn't one of those fourth down strange things.
We have 140 yards in the first half.
I know your what's more likely is weird plays that are inexplicable for the Chargers or, you know, Taylor Swift cutaways. And as predicted, Taylor Swift cutaways won in a blowout. So I'll just say this is an overreaction. Coaching for his job in week 8. I don't think that's the case.
Okay, fair. What's more likely? More likely their coach next year. Josh McDaniels, Brandon Staley.
Oh. I don't know their contracts off the top of my head. I'll go Josh McDaniels because I don't think the Raiders are going to – they're all in. They're all in on the Patriots-West thing, man. Mm. And in him, you trust. I don't know. If I had a guess, I would go with that.
And Brady going to be part owner soon, right?
We'll see.
All right, let's finish up with two AFC East-related teams here. Patriots fans should be more upset at the reported Belichick contract extension than the win on Sunday. And I know I was pretty upset at the win yesterday. Upset at the contract extension.
If you want to use Overreaction Monday real estate,
it's a good
for
topic,
your psyche,
though. It's a good
I
topic.
Would prefer to let me just pay for your sports psychologist.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it
we might have to do
at
that
home.
Soon.
Keep that sports psychology psychosis off our podcast airwaves. Because right now, this right at the bottom here, that Patriots fans should be more upset at the reported Belichick extension than the win over Buffalo, means I think you're in the extreme minority.
I think, really?
That you're upset that they beat the Bills.
No way. Absolutely not. 70,000 at Gillette yesterday. There's no way
in the minority.
69% nice. We're mad
are
at that.
Way
come on.
Off
really?
Base. Yes.
Do you know any Pats fans who are glad they beat the Bills yesterday?
I haven't spoken to the
in-laws. How's Cooper doing?
He's psyched.
Why? Does he understand?
He's 12, and he's got a better outlook than you do.
He does.
He's a 12-year-old, and you're a child.
He does.
He's a man compared to you. I feel like I'm the godfather. Act like a man. Come on, you beat the Bills. You could have been 1-6.
But the season
Belichick
is going nowhere.
Still be sitting at 299 and the Bills move on. And then you are crazy training for nothing in front of Vrabel wearing a red jacket. Come on, man. You want the Bills to walk out of there staring into the abyss saying what's happening to our
season.
Yeah,
but I want a moral victory. I wanted us to fight. We played hard. Mac played well. Didn't turn the ball over. He made some throws. And then Josh Allen comeback win. Okay, great. We played well. We carry that a little bit. And then we go 3-14 and take someone else.
Get out of here. Bill is there. And you are lucky to have Bill Belichick as part of your organization, sir. Now, if you want someone else shopping for the groceries, then you tell Bob Kraft to tell him that. But the fact that he's signed long-term, honestly, let Gerard Mayo learn more from the master here before he's ready to hand it off. Because at this point in time, that's a W. Let's go out of Miami and win another one.
Fine. The win notwithstanding, how should fans react to that news of the extension?
Well, if you think he's lost it, you should be upset. I don't think he's lost it.
He's lost it as a talent evaluator and a picker of the groceries, though.
Maybe you can make a very good case. There's no overreaction on that.
Okay.
But the fact that you're upset about beating the Bills.
No, I said they should be more upset about the extension.
Meaning that there's a certain level of upsetness, and one makes you more upset than the other, and neither should. Come on.
Jet fan telling me not.
I know, and I'm making sense.
Come on. All right, last one.
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
We watched it.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are pretenders.
Wow, you even threw out your notes.
Pretenders, okay?
Look, you have no use for the notes anymore? You just threw it over the table.
No, I have the nugget that I want to say to you earlier. Okay, they have five wins, right? They're five wins. They had five wins. The teams that they beat had five wins.
Yes.
And then the 3-1-5 teams that they beat, not impressed, all won yesterday. So now it looks a little bit better that their five wins have eight. What are we doing? The Dolphins, come on.
The Dolphins are flat out in the club of who have they really beaten? And I told you before, and I will tell you again, they beat the Chargers in week one when anything can happen. And everyone's like talking Justin Herbert is going to be MVP of the league.
Absolutely.
Okay. And they still went under those circumstances, they beat them. Okay. You're, you know, using the week seven prism to denigrate their week one win.
Well, based on what I've seen the Chargers do in the last six.
New England came off of a near miss, your first moral victory this season that you wanted in week seven. You actually got in week one against Philadelphia, and then New England has them come into their house. It's their second straight road game to start the season, and they won both of them. It's tough to win two in a row, start the season on the road back to back, and they won both games, including a division game that's never easy to do to win in New England.
But we've seen what the Broncos are. They're not very good. They're going to have a top five pick. So you put 70 on them.
I get you.
Carolina is going to have the worst record in the league.
What they are.
They've been punched in the mouth twice, and they lost both games.
But you say the Bills stink, and they lost to the Bills. So that means
the Bills, stink now, not when they played the Dolphins early in the year.
All right.
It's a week-to-week league. I can only judge you on what you've done recently.
You can't win them all, as the rest of the Dolphins from 72 will tell you. So.
Now, that's another team I don't need to hear about.
I know. So, again, you're using your own personal biases on this podcast.
No, I'm just looking at the Dolphins in general.
I understand you're not the only one saying this about the Dolphins. I will tell you this. They have problems right now beating teams that hit you in the mouth and make sure Tua hangs onto the ball for an extra beat. That is a problem. They have to figure that out. I do believe, defensively, they're only going to get better. Xavien Howard wasn't there last night.
Jalen Ramsey will be back.
He's coming back. It's entirely possible, hopefully for their sake and for the sake of those of us calling the game on NFL Network, both will be back in time for the
Chiefs-Dolphins
game in Germany in week nine. So let's just see. We're matriculating down the schedule. They are not pretenders. I guarantee you that is a team that you don't want to see come into your house in January if you're the Jaguars. That is not a team that you want to see come into their house in January if you're, you know, name any other team from the AFC North. Although, you know, they coming into your house in the middle of a freezing winter, that might be an issue.
Maybe.
I don't know.
You don't want to go to South Florida, though.
That's for damn straight. And right now, because you think the Bills are done for the year,
toast.
The Dolphins are going to have you come into their house. So, they're not pretenders. And that wraps up this edition of Overreaction Monday, except for the predictions. I came so close. I said that the Eagles, the overreaction prediction for this week is that the Eagles are in trouble. I felt deep down that the Ravens were going to beat the Lions. I should have come out with that. The Lions are in trouble. Overreaction.
That would have been good.
I would have been able to actually say,
that
see,
been good.
Look at you overreacting in the manner in which I predicted you would.
I said the Raiders were going to go on a run with Aiden O'Connell. He didn't even play.
That's your guy's fault.
Jeez.
I throw McDaniels on your
my
plate.
Guy.
Yeah.
My
so
guy.
Your okay, prediction. Here we go. What are we going to overreact to for the week eight show?
Here's what we got.
Yeah.
In the big show, I was like, wait, how are the Steelers 4-2?
I know.
I still can't believe that. They're going to beat the Jags this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to say the Steelers are going to win the AFC North.
How is that an overreaction, though? If they beat the Jaguars, how is that an overreaction?
Because their offense stinks, and they're not even nearly as good as the Ravens or the Browns.
They already have a win against the Ravens, though.
But they're not as good as the Ravens. You know that. I know that.
Okay.
They know that.
Any given Sunday, though, you throw the records out with them. When is that game?
They're not as good as the Browns if Deshaun Watson's healthy.
Pittsburgh is at Baltimore the final weekend of the year. Week 18, baby. Middle of January. Let's go. Hashtag here we go.
If you watch the Steelers play, their offense stinks.
Right.
Their defense is good.
Right.
Them say they're going to, I mean, they could win this game 15-13 on Sunday.
Right.
Steelers winning the North. I think it's a pretty big overreaction.
Okay. Pop mine up there, Hoskins, to wrap up this edition of Overreaction Monday.
Oh, wow.
The overreaction is the Rams season is over. I think the Dallas Cowboys.
Good one.
Knocked the Rams around a little bit.
Good one.
It could be entirely possible that Sean McVay isn't even there. You know, his wife is in labor. She's due. McVay, you know, might not be even part of the prep or whatever. It's going to be could be a wild week for the Rams.
Where was Cooper Kupp yesterday? 29 yards?
I mean, the Steelers are a good defensive team, which is why yours is not
They're not good on offense. They're terrible
offense. Well, until the fourth quarter when it's picket time.
Right.
And so the Rams can fall to 3-5, and you could sit here and say that their season is over. After that, they're at Green Bay. They have a bye. They can sweep the season series from Seattle.
That would be huge.
Yep. Then they're at Arizona. They could sweep the season series from them. Then they're home for Cleveland. Who the hell knows? The tough run. At Baltimore in week 14. Home for Washington. A Thursday night home date. Short week against New Orleans. These are winnable games. At the Giants. And then they finish up against San Francisco. I mean, they can make a run here, pal. And that's not even higher register. So even going to 3-5, they have 9 games to go. They can win 6 of their final 9, entirely possible, and make the playoffs. Just throwing it out there.
Good one.
And that wraps up this edition of Overreaction Monday, courtesy of Game Time, which also brings you the next edition of What the Football. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask is a way for you to listen to that podcast where you get this one, The Rich Eisen Show, and so much more. Susie and Amy's next guest will be Warren Sapp.
99.
And 99, your program, number one in your heart.
Let's go.
I think Amy's got some great Sapp stories. And Amy says Sapp does a great Al Davis impersonation.
Whoa.
That'll be on Tuesday's edition of What the Football. As for this edition of Overreaction Monday, good stuff, Chris Brockman.
Good stuff, buddy.
I am Rich Eisen. We will see you next time. Or listen to us next time.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams. If you were asking me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction
Monday podcast. Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.